Ray Show. The next few minutes, hope you'll sit back and enjoy our program with us. Even if you're driving your car, you can tilt your power seat back and enjoy it that much more.
Keep your eyes on the road because we don't want to have you missing tomorrow from our show.
That's right, that's right.
Right? Is that how
you wonderful thought, Bob. Wonderful thought.
Who shot today?
3026, right?
That's what it is, yeah.
Now, where do you want this invisible shield put up?
Oh, I think that we drew a line on the floor there between us and the audience.
Oh, I see.
It.
Okay.
Been a great...
Let's go.
All right.
They want it up in front of the audience.
Right here.
That's
mine.
Yeah, all right.
That's a good place for it. Been having a lot of trouble with the vegetables and assorted fruit. Sometimes heavy packages being tossed this way.
So we've put up a shield. And
are you good, Howard?
Yes, I am.
For all intents and purposes, it's just as though there was no shield. It's you can see through it beautifully.
Yes, it is.
Fellas, you're going to take those fingerprints off, aren't you, when you get through?
Yes, we all are polishing all up. You go ahead with your work, and we'll go ahead with ours.
All right, okay. Well, then, while they do their work, this would be as good a time as any, I suppose, to check on Arthur Schrank.
Yes, that would get us out of the studio where it's a little quieter, or at least we don't have that annoying...
Not on your side over there.
Sorry,
go. Now, come on, shape up.
So let's go out to Portland, Oregon, and call in Arthur Schrank with Harry Birkendall, manager of station KOIN, where the Bob and Ray trophy train is paying a visit today.
Everybody, this is Arthur Schrank. We're having a wonderful time here in Portland, Oregon. And all the gang at... Hi, Arthur Schrank reporting, and all the gang here at KOIN, our wonderful CBS station here in Portland, is really giving the Bob and Ray Trophy Train a wonderful welcome. This is Arthur Schrank, and standing beside me is Harry... I'm sorry, sir. I don't know how to pronounce your name.
Birkendall.
Oh.
Buckendall.
Well, it's even hard for you, Harry, I know, to pronounce it yourself. Well, look, what do you think of the Bob and Ray Trophy Train, sir?
Well, Mr. Schrank, a lot of us were disappointed that there weren't more things on it. We came out here expecting to see Ray's first pair of long trousers. We expected to see Bob's first pair of roller skates, as had been advertised. And we found very little of, we didn't find those things, and we didn't find a good many other things.
Well, sir, I'd like to explain, and I might mention this on the air, too, for the benefit of those towns that we haven't visited yet. There's been a lot of petty thievery going. Hi, everybody, this is Arthur Schrank.
Are you trying to call us folks in this area petty thieves?
No, but...
It sounded that way to me, Schrank.
Yes, sir. But I do think, though, that some of the people are not realizing... Hello? Hi. Not realizing that it's stealing. They probably think it's souvenir hunting. They don't realize that Bob and Ray have a good deal of not only money, but... hi, everybody. Arthur Schrank, tied up in it.
Well, we don't... We certainly didn't expect to see this meager assortment of... mementos and curios of Bob and Ray.
Well, the City of Roses is beautiful, sir, and we want to thank you and all the gang at KOIN.
We just as soon you'd leave right now, Schrank.
All right, Harry. Thanks very much. And so long, Portland, Oregon. Okay, go ahead.
Just hope they haven't taken too much of our stuff. That sounds very discouraging.
Well, didn't you expect it, Bob, really? When you have little things like that around, souvenir hunters will take certain items, not realizing that it's of great value in many cases.
Suppose they took your collection of Andrew Sisters records?
I don't know. I have no idea. But fortunately, it's all insured. I know that...
But it's the sentimental value of those things.
Webley, you did get the premium over, didn't you, on that?
You did pay the insurance premium?
For what?
For the trophy train, all of our
stuff. You know what we're there, Bob.
Well, sure we did. That was part of your last month's duties there.
Well, wait a minute. I'll walk up there, and I'm going to show you the book. The Bob and Red
book. Where is it? Back of the studio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, what is that? What
have
you got up there?
We forgot to tell you that invisible shield has been installed there.
Well, boy, I walked right into it.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh, my nose.
Right in the nose there, huh?
Yeah, well, where's it end? Can I get out and walk around the end of it, or what?
Well, you'll have to go out the other door and around to the front, I guess. They didn't put a door in it, did they?
I don't see any door. It looks like a shield all the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like anything, really.
Supposed to be some way.
Well,
of
I'll
getting
go around to this little control room.
All right, good. Find the book, though, and find out about that insurance.
I have a feeling that he didn't pay the premium.
I think he's stalling.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The way he said, what premium, frightened me a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Well, the audience is having a good time. Oh, lucky we had that up. That would have caught the microphone, I think.
Yeah.
It was low.
Right between us there.
It was a low pitch.
It's going to be noisier with this thing up.
What is that made out of anyway? Now, that was a heavy item. I don't. What was that?
It didn't crack or anything.
Oh.
It's safe. Where's much safer than we were.
It doesn't chip either, you notice it?
Yeah.
Perfect. There's only one thing I could find fault. There's a slight flaw. Seeing it over there to the left? It looks like
a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'll be any refund on that.
Well, they'd have to take the whole thing out and put another one in.
Well, maybe we could put a piece of tape over it or something.
You want me to do that?
And then people will think there's tape hanging in midair.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Do a lot of things.
The audience is smiling.
Let me put some tape over there.
I think the audience likes the idea, too, you know?
Yeah, they're laughing.
Sure, I think they have a sense of protection, knowing that we can't go after them, either.
How close am I to the shield?
I don't know. I can't tell.
I don't want to walk into it the way he did.
Yeah, well, don't. Be careful. Well, walk slowly.
Oh.
There it is.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where's that bubble? There it is. How'd that look?
Hey, it looked like a piece of tape hanging in midair.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, audience? They're smiling on the other side.
I got a wave to owl.
So, I didn't see any printing at all. Oh!
What happened?
I walked into it toward the end.
Oh. You don't find the premium notice, huh? Or the canceled check or anything?
No. Here, look for yourself. I don't think you told me to print the premium.
I did, huh?
Well, let's figure it's a total loss anyway.
Well, we better get Shrank right back here then, I guess.
Yeah. Put an invisible shield around the train. Wally Blue is standing by now for a very interesting interview, another America on the March series, as he visits a map maker. So come in, please. Wally Ballou.
Cartographer. Cartography, of course, one of the oldest arts, and here is one of the oldest map makers that we have come across, Mr. Arch Knowlton. Sir, you have sailed the seven seas, I understand, and have acquired a great deal of knowledge in the art of making maps.
Thank you for that very warm and kindly introduction. But I specialize principally, Mr. Ballou, in maps of the United States.
That's what I understood. I wonder if we can see some of your work.
Huh? Yes, I say that's my long suit.
What is?
The United States maps.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
The wall of this room, which I would say is 15 by 30 feet, roughly.
Well, you're not too far off. It's about 11 by 13.
Is covered with maps, made presumably by Mr. Knowlton. Here's one of a foreign country, I imagine. I can't...
What?
Isn't this some small foreign country? I don't recognize the outline.
That's your own United States, Mr. Ballou, yes.
Well... You've got Florida there on the west coast, haven't you?
Well?
I mean, that little peninsula down there is just about 200 miles below San Francisco, I'd say.
Well, yes.
Well, what?
Well.
Look, there's...
Where would you have it?
There's Cape Cod jutting out into the Great Lakes. I think that's the Great Lakes. Or...
Well, I wasn't too sure. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a stickler for details.
Well, where do you get your information? Is it just what you think a map should look like, or...
No, I travel around quite a bit, and, I don't know. I'm just careless, and it's bugged me all my life.
What's this over here,
That's Hawaii, right next to Illinois.
Well, Hawaii, I think I might tell you, is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Well, now that, of course, I couldn't waste the paper to put in a lot of blue ocean, so I just brought Hawaii over. Where does Cape Cod go?
It goes over to the right side of the map.
Give me the
seat. As you look at it.
I'll just.
I'm staring Cape Cod off to the left of the map and sticking it on right up there by, what is that, Mexico?
Yes, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
That's right.
That
looks pretty good. It even looks more symmetrical there.
Well, it looks...
It looks better than it did over in the West Coast.
But now you've got the Rocky Mountains going down through Tennessee there.
Hmm.
Do you sell many of these maps, Mr. Dalton, or...
Yes. There are a lot of people using them for gifts, and a lot of people who specialize in geography like to get a hold of my
map. Do any schools buy these?
Yes.
Colleges. Well, I certainly hope that the word goes out that they're not exactly accurate. But it has been interesting to see the products of your labor. How long does it take to make a map of the United States the way you do?
Not too long. I can put one up, draw it, paint it in, and about a day and a half. But now that I have to move a lot of Cape Cods, and I have about 400 in the back room. So I'm going to have to move a lot of Cape Cods by the Christmas season.
Well, I hope you get it all done in time, Arch Knowlton.
Your engineer is signaling you to hurry up.
I am hurrying up, engineer. I know the time.
Well, move on.
Thank you very much for talking with us. And now back to our radio studios.
Yes, back to the studios. And we had hoped, long about now, too, to have another special beeper phone report from Wally. But for some reason, his call didn't come through. I guess
he's
having trouble.
How's he doing as a CBS News trainee correspondent, have you heard?
Well, they returned his trench coat to wardrobe the other day, but everything else seems to be going along all right, I guess.
Where was the beeper phone thing from?
It was from a drugstore around the corner, but something must have happened. Wait a minute, there's Wally coming into the control room now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Holding up a scribble sign says, sorry I lost my dime.
Well, I guess we better say something nice about CBS News, kind of smooth it over for Wally.
Well, at CBS News, broadcasting's foremost news-gathering organization, daily on CBS Radio.
Right.
Guess that's nice enough, huh?
Perfect. We'll have to speak sharply to Wally, though.
Well, why is that?
I lent him the dime, you know.
Oh, okay, thank you. He's honest. Dudley Webster is going to have a historical quotation for you in just 10 seconds. Here's Webley with that historical quotation.
Remember the Maine, but don't forget Vermont.
Oh, say, we got to go along. Until the next time, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.